Good evening. The Passion continues. Tonight, talking about blood. How important is blood? Can we exist without it?
No.
So we're going to focus on the subject matter of blood tonight, but not your blood. Rather, the blood of Jesus. The blood given and shed for you. The greatest love story continues. We turn our attention to the invocation. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is near to all who call on Him.
To all who call on Him in truth.
In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in Your righteousness. Since You are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of Your name, lead and guide me.
Free me from the trap that is set for me, for You are my refuge.
Into Your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. God hears our cries for mercy. In him we have a sure hope. A reading from Holy Scripture, Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. The word of the Lord.
Christ, O God, come and drink in.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, you give us your true body and blood as a remembrance of your suffering and death on the cross. Grant us so firmly to believe your words and promise that we may always partake of this sacrament to our eternal good.
The Father, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Disobedience comes with consequences. Thankfully, the Lord has provided a way to be spared the severest consequence. A reading from Holy Scripture, Exodus 12. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner, who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead." The word of the Lord.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Even in his hour of sorrow, Jesus offers us this reassurance, a reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the 14th chapter. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The word of the Lord.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in great abundance, thanks to the love of God our Father, love clearly evident in the gift of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, thanks to the work of the Holy Spirit using the means of grace has connected us to that love of God and the saving work of our Savior. Do you need to understand all the ins and outs of electricity in order to benefit from it, such as flip a switch and the light goes on? Do you need to grasp all the ins and outs connected to the Lord's Supper in order for this sacred meal of our Lord and Savior to be of benefit to us? In other words, you have to understand and be able to explain the mystic union, how it works, how the body and blood of Christ is in, with, and under the bread and wine in that Lord's Supper. If so, would any one of us be able to partake of this meal that He has given to us for our benefit? The Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, there's other proper names for it as well. It is a weighty doctrine or topic. And yet, despite the complexity of the Lord's Supper, of Holy Communion, and what's all connected to it, there comes yet a simple truth, a simple takeaway when we partake of it. Your sins are forgiven. Go and live your life in His peace. Unless you reject the teaching of the mystic union, which is to be accepted as a matter of faith, or if you are still active in a life of sin, then we partake of that sacrament, that mystic union, not to our salvation, but rather to our condemnation. Well, we're reminded tonight in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus was celebrating the Passover with the inner circle of His disciples. Now this would be, as we are indicated, that the last time He would celebrate it with His disciples in such fashion. And given that that was the fact, he did something powerful. And connected that powerful Passover message to something even more powerful and still lasting today. We're familiar with the history of the Passover, why it was powerful and why it was significant. How the Lord had the children of Israel grow up in the land of Egypt for years, but never forgot His promise to their forefathers that He would deliver them from that land of slavery, of difficult times, and deliver them to an earthly land of promise, and even to a higher land of promise. And recall all the plagues leading up to that plague of the firstborn. They were intense. Yeah, some were able to be duplicated by the Egyptian magicians. But then there became a separation. And then that separation continued as some just now impacted Egypt, but not Israel. All culminating in that last plague, the plague of the firstborn. As Pharaoh had dug in his heels and brought this consequence upon his people. The powerful, significant message of the Passover is blood, right? The Lord prescribed how that blood was to be prepared and how it was to be sprinkled on the door frames. And if that blood was found there on the door frames by that angel of death as it passed over, you in that household were spared. If it wasn't, disaster. And as we heard, that was to be a lasting ordinance for the children of Israel, to remember in a powerful way how the Lord God kept his word and how he delivered his people out of slavery conditions, out of Egypt and into that promised land. And now with the coming of Jesus in the flesh, we see the fulfillment and the significance of that first Passover and the importance of blood, the blood of the Lamb. Jesus himself now was and is the Lamb. And it was and is his blood that truly offers an escape from the slavery of this world, from our sins and from eternal condemnation. And so with Jesus here in the flesh and about to do what he came here to do, he reminds his disciples not only of that Passover itself, but the significance of it and how it was to find its fulfillment in him. And now they and all the disciples after them, including you and me, are to celebrate this new ordinance that he instituted for the good of his people. Connecting his saving blood to us in a very powerful, significant, personal way. It's through blood that they were delivered then. It's through blood that we are still able to be delivered. And we see this blood in the Lord's Supper. Now, people struggle with this. How can his body and blood be together with the bread and wine? Well, understandably so, it is a matter of faith. This mystic union that takes place. And so one of the best ways that we can define it is by simply saying that his body and blood is in, with, and under the bread and wine. And we don't have to understand it, praise the Lord, in order for it to be of benefit to us. The greatest love story contains those words, given and shed. And as we look at what was given and what was shed, a key word for us to focus on is that word is. Jesus said to his disciples of all time, "This is my body. This is my blood." What didn't he say? He didn't say this represents my body or blood. He didn't say this changes into my body or blood. This may be my body and blood if you want it to be so. No, he said this is. And no matter what anyone says, is always means is. Take and eat my body and my blood. This is my body and blood. For what purpose? For the purpose of assuring us of absolute forgiveness. Without that word is, it would be empty of that purpose. And so how important that word is. One simple word, yet significant and powerful. God knows us human beings. He knows we need more senses involved to help grasp things. And so he has given us these physical elements connected to him as a way to be mindful of how salvation has become our very own. Through the giving and the shedding of his very own blood. Not for anything that he had done. His blood remained perfect. Our blood is not. Our blood is tainted with sin. And it's our sins that he took upon the cross and shed his blood for. And he reminds us then of that powerful saving means. His death on the cross and the shedding of his blood. Each time we partake of the sacrament of Holy Communion. the greatest love story comes through what has been given and shed for you, for us. Now, with this partaking of the sacrament, not only are we personally assured of the forgiveness of sins, but we're also then strengthening our unity as a body of believers. And we're making a confession of faith that we recognize, even though we don't fully comprehend, that Jesus' body and blood is present with the bread and wine. We use the term real presence. And we're also strengthened in our bonds of faith as we kneel or stand side by side, being assured of forgiveness through what has been given and shed for us. We can't be assured of that forgiveness if we don't acknowledge that Jesus' body and blood is present with the bread and wine. We can't be assured of that forgiveness if we're actively engaged in a life of sin and have no intent of repenting of it. And be rest assured, we are receiving His body and blood with that bread and wine, but again, not to our salvation, but rather to our condemnation. And so there are protections that the Lord has given to the soul of people, that no one partake of this sacrament in an unworthy manner, because God is not into the death of anyone, but rather wants all people to come to a knowledge of His truth and be saved. And so He's put His truth in the pages of Scripture about His body and blood together in with and under the bread and wine. And what we receive in the sacrament and for what purpose. And who should not partake. Yes, we can be assured of forgiveness, thankfully, apart from this sacrament. But why set aside a means God has given to us to assure us of His forgiveness for our good and the good of His church? If you deny electricity because you don't understand it, think of all the benefits you are missing out on by doing that in this life. If you deny the real presence of the Lord's Supper because you don't understand that mystic union, you miss out on the benefits that Jesus wants to offer us through this means of grace. A grace which reveals the greatest love story through an act and words given and shed for you. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. We pray. Precious Redeemer, may Your face that once reflected the burden of our sins and the anguish of hell be ever turned toward us in love and tenderness. Lord, as You have now called Ron Grand Prix, a former member here at St. Mark's, to Yourself in heaven, continue to hold up his wife Sharon during this time of deep sorrow and loss. Keep her fixed on the hope that remains hers through Jesus. Bless the words of friends as they seek to bring her comfort. In Jesus' name we ask this. And may the dear blood, once shed for us, be for our sins the perfect cleansing power. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Corinthians 10. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf, the word of the Lord. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden, O Lord, hear our prayer. Listen to our cry for mercy, and in your faithfulness come to our relief. Do not bring your servants into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer us quickly, O Lord, our spirit fails. Do not hide your face from us, for we have put our trust in you. Show us the way we should go, for to you we lift up our soul. Teach us to do your will, for you are our God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
Because of the words and work of our Savior Jesus, your sins are forgiven. He assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you answered me. I thank you for the love you have shown me in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Through him, you have rescued me from the guilt of my sin and given me the peace of forgiveness. Help me fight against temptation, correct whatever wrongs I can, and serve you and those around me with love and good works. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Now may this strength that has preserved you and the truth that unto life everlasting. Go in peace, sins forgiven.
Take a minute. This is Christ's body. Give him for you to the priests. So take a hand, drink, for so it seems like a sign. And I'm ready to save you from these priests.
Thank you.
direct and have preserved you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Sins forgiven.
Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, Good Friday service is 1 o'clock and 6:30. 6:30, we are welcoming the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Chorus. And also then we're having a fellowship meal at 5 o'clock, starting at 5 o'clock in the Multipurpose Center. You're welcome to attend that as well with the seminary students. Get to interact with them briefly before the service. And then Easter Sunday, 8 and 10:45 are our service times with a pancake breakfast starting at 9:15. Again, that'll be held in the Multipurpose Center. And then the egg hunt, not too late to invite people to that egg hunt on Saturday morning starting at 10 o'clock. So just keep that in mind, too, if you think of somebody else you'd like to invite to get to know Jesus in one or many ways. Blessings on your night.